This is the weapon of SAS destruction, the hashtag feminist icon, the most marketable corporate sponsored sports entertainer of our or any generation, and, well, also the golden boy of grab ass, Effie. The E is for electric, the F is for fantastic, and the rest is fuck you if you haven't listened to my Dark Match podcast interview. Go back and find it now.
You should be booking Effie at your show. He's better than everyone you know. He's gonna teach the children about progressive liberalism. And he's gonna beat the ass of your favorite competitor.
You're now listening to the Dark Match Podcast. Let's go live into the studio for this week's episode. Buddy! I don't know what's funnier, the fact that I sent you an invitation for this. Because we're recording the, I guess you could say the entire episode in a unique format. We needed a night off, and we said, you know, why not just do it in the comfort of our own home? So it's a little off kilter for the way that we normally record, but I'm sitting in my basement right now. You're currently dealing with a bunch of other problems, which we'll get to in a second. But my biggest issue right now is my lack of, I guess you could say, memory. Because my wife and I were just having a conversation about our basement TV and how the new one hasn't gotten here yet. Because unfortunately, a few days ago, Buzz Lightyear decided to go to infinity and beyond through my TV.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yep. So we had to order a new TV. Now, it wasn't my kid. It was someone else's child. I felt horrible. Even when they told me, like, Shannon, like, immediately, like, texted me. She's like, look, like, call me before you get home so that way I can kind of just brief you so that way you kind of know what's going on. So, because she knew the second I'd walk in the door, like, the kids would just be running at me, like, oh, this person broke the TV. I'm like, okay, cool. So it's kind of good that you gave me a heads up, I guess. But
nice.
Buzz Lightyear took a flying leap. I guess you could say, like, Joey Janela's style.
No, it's balling with style.
Balling with style.
Not balling.
But it's a wrestling. I thought you were going like MVP there for a second. I don't know.
But I said falling. Like, that's what okay. That was the whole Woody thing, man. Come on.
He was falling with
style, my friend.
You don't need to school me on Toy Story references or anything like that. I mean, I can.
Oh, trust me. I know you don't.
Look
at your kid's bedroom.
I know. He came
or
into my work
in the TV.
Yeah. You look at, like, on Saturday, like, my oldest son came running into my work because I had one of the credit cards that my wife needed. She had to run to Home Depot, and I had the Home Depot credit card, and I was already at work, and she, like, stops in, and, like, I see him, like, coming through the door. I'm like, that kid looks familiar. Immediately, like, Seamus runs up to, like, the customer that I'm sitting with, and he literally just throws his Duke Kaboom action figure in his face. And if you haven't seen Toy Story 4 just yet, like, Duke Kaboom is like the Canadian version of Evil Knievel, except he's voiced by Keanu Reeves, so by default he's already cooler.
Yeah, I forgot who he was voiced by.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves is the voice of Duke Kaboom, and it's Seamus's favorite toy right now. Like, Duke Kaboom is his favorite character in the movie. Like Team Storm and IWC would be absolutely ecstatic to hear that my kid, like, wants to dress up as Duke Kaboom and, like, rock the Maple Leaf, like, hardcore. But shut up with your distaste for Team Storm. But huge news coming out. It hasn't dropped just yet, but I'm excited for it. Justin Plummer, the owner of IWC, with a huge, huge cliffhanger, saying that the next announcement that will be made for Cage Fury will change the landscape of IWC from this day forward. So I'm excited to hear this. And definitely check back, because we're going to be pumping it like crazy.
Yeah, and he posted on their Instagram story with that, and also asking, who would you like to see come back to IWC?
Ooh. Ooh.
So I'm very curious, are we going to be seeing someone returning to IWC?
I think you and I know who he may be referencing, and I'm excited for it if it is that person.
If this is the one
that you and I know about, but we can't say anything, and we still haven't said anything,
we are dropping everything for
it. Oh my God, I will tell a bride and groom that they need to kiss my ass because I'm going to IWC.
Yeah.
I will drop it that day to go to it. So, I mean, we can talk about IWC all we want, but a huge event happened this past weekend. A lot of events, a lot of wrestling this past weekend. I mean, how can we cover it in a full show? But definitely got to give a shout out to one promotion in particular. We've had multiple different guests on this show from this event. And no, I'm not talking about the one that you think I'm talking about, Dave. I'm actually talking about Fest Wrestling's Christmas in July 3. Annual event that they do every single year. Huge event, huge turnout, great crowd, great energy, huge matches of the night. First and foremost, huge congratulations going out. A fantastic match. Watched it already between one Jordan Grace and one Effie. What a match. The innovation that they have, and I don't care what anyone says about intergender wrestling. I mean, you want to preach on social media nonstop. Oh, give women a chance. Give them a chance. Okay, they're in an intergender match. You're like, oh, that's sick, man. Like, they shouldn't be wrestling men. Why not? Like, if you're going to preach it, live by it. Like, get off your high horse already. That was a fantastic match. And we'll get into other things surrounding Jordan Grace here at the latter part of this episode. Because a lot of things happen all across social media and even at the event itself. Another huge congratulations going out to two individuals, former guest Simon Gotch and Saeed Al-Sabad, rounding out Christmas in July at Fest Wrestling in a fantastic match for the Fest Wrestling Championship. So huge kudos going out to everybody at that event. If you haven't checked out Fest Wrestling, you haven't followed them, you haven't looked up any of the talent they have, and fantastic talent from top to bottom as well, definitely do so. Go on over to social media, give them a follow, check out everything that they're doing. They're doing some fantastic stuff down in the Florida circuit, but don't want to spend too much time because we have a fantastic interview today. And obviously we're talking about Florida, and one promotion in particular that runs out of Florida would be one MLW. And that, of course, is Major League Wrestling for all of you newcomers to the show and to their promotion. If you haven't checked it out yet, what are you doing? Look at all the talent that they have. Look at the storylines that they've had over the past few years. I mean, what are you doing with your life if you haven't done so yet? But we have one of the most marketable superstars on their entire roster on the show today, and we're excited to get into it. So I really don't want to take too much of your time. I know, Dave, your sciatica is acting up, so you just want to jump into it too. You want to get into your gravity chair. You want to kick back. You want to relax. You want to listen to a good interview. So I'm not going to take any more time. Let's get right into our interview.
First and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, we have, if you haven't been following along, if you haven't been following MLW, for example, among many other promotions, obviously you've been living under a rock, and welcome back to reality. But if you haven't yet, we gave you a little bit of a glimpse of who we'd be having on today. We have none other than the most marketable superstar in MLW. We have the marketable Richard Holiday on with us here tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. And just to preface of what you said, yeah, if you're not watching MLW, if you're not paying attention to what's going on a weekly basis, Saturday night, 9 p.m., BN Sports USA, then you are, in fact, an uneducated consumer, and you're not watching the best professional wrestling in the world today. I stand by that statement wholeheartedly.
If you need an example for it, I mean, there was a match that just came out earlier today, and that's just a small glimpse, and that was someone that you're a part of with the Dynasty, a fantastic match against Davey Boy Smith. Not the result that you were hoping for. You won by disqualification. Well, Hammerstone did, but still a fantastic match. If that doesn't get you pumped up just to tune in for the next episode, I don't know what will, because that was wrestling at its finest, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I mean, Alexander Hammerstone is an absolute meat castle and one of the best professional wrestlers in the world today. And that match with Davey Boy Smith proved it. That match was exceptional. And maybe we didn't win in the exact way that the Dynasty wanted, but at the end of the day, the W is going right in that column. So we were perfectly fine with it. We beat Davey Boy Smith, and it was a big win for the Dynasty.
But I want to take a couple of steps back before the Dynasty came to be and get to know a little bit more about marketable Richard Holiday. So first and foremost, where are you from?
Well, you know what? Here's my thing about podcasts is that at this point, if you don't know who I am, well, then that's too bad for you. Go and do the research on your own. In terms of where I'm from, things like that, I think the consumers want the hard-hitting questions. The consumers want to be entertained on this podcast. So I think we deviate from the very basic and mundane questions of where you're from, who trained you, how long you've been doing it, and how you got started. And we can just get right into the nitty-gritty, you know, the good stuff, the important stuff. How do you feel about that?
I like the challenge, and I'm up for it. And, yes, we do ask some of the traditional questions, but we do ask the off-kilter questions every now and then, too. But you know what, my friend, in the words of one Barney Stinson, challenge accepted. So, first and foremost, you have been making waves all across social media. If these individuals that are listening right now haven't been following you, it's their own fault in itself. And you're right in that aspect. So, first and foremost, with everything that's going on with MLW, your current MLW Tag Team Champion with none other than Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF, for those individuals that are also living under a rock. I mean, we can just insult people for the next hour if we so choose, for their inability to follow professional wrestling and the best professional wrestling that's in the world right now. But what do you currently have your sights set on? I'm sure you're completely content being part of the Dynasty, but as being the most marketable superstar in MLW and in sports entertainment today, you've got to have your sights set a little bit higher than, unfortunately, being part of the Dynasty. What do you have in mind for your career moving forward?
Well, now that's a good question, and I'm going to provide you with a good answer. But I want to say, right now, think about what the Dynasty is doing. You know, we've only been together for how many months now? Six, seven, if that. And we're already being talked about as one of the greatest factions in the history of professional wrestling. I mean, we're up there. We are synonymous with names like NWO and the Four Horsemen. The Dynasty is something that is just sending shockwaves through the industry at the moment. And myself, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, and Alexander Hammerstone are three self-made superstars. I want to point that out. We don't come from a family. There's no other Hammerstone, no other Friedman, no other Holiday to enter this business. We're the first. And we're coming together and doing something that is just truly special for the consumers on a weekly basis. Now, me and Max, I mean, we're the MLW Tag Team Champions. In my opinion, we're the best tag team in the world. And then Alexander Hammerstone, he's the national openweight champion. So we're riding high right now, man. We are on cloud nine, as you would say. And, of course, do I have big aspirations? Well, sure. You know, I've only been in this business for not even 4 years. And to be at the level that I'm at right now is pretty impressive. So you can only imagine where I'm going to be in another 4 years. I mean, speculation maybe, but probability is that I'm going to be top guy in MLW, the top guy in the industry, and I'm going to do it alongside my Dynasty bros.
And that's a great start, too. And I mean, you're still young, too. I mean, you're only, and I hate to assume, you're only about, what, 25, 26 years old, and you're already making the impact that you are.
Yeah, 26, to be exact. 26.
Now, I have to ask, obviously, you're in professional wrestling, but you don't have a normal build. You're built like a brick shit house. Excuse the expression. You kind of have the build of an athlete, and obviously you played in college as well. You went to New Haven. You were a football star there. Why wrestling is my question.
Well, professional wrestling, if you think about it, really allows me to broadcast all of my many talents. Think about it. If I were to just be a professional football player, well, then all I could really show off is my athleticism. If I were to just be an actor, then all I can show off is my acting skills. If I were to just be a model, then all I would be able to showcase are my good looks. However, professional wrestling allows me to come and mold all of those three things together alongside a lot of other accolades and impressive feats that I do have, and give that on a national stage. So I'm on weekly television every single week for all of the consumers to enjoy. And I think that is a beautiful thing. And everything that I have, it just really resonates to professional wrestling and on the television screen. So that's why I'm so drawn to it. And, you know, you can make a lot of money doing it.
Very true. Now, what was your exact moment that kind of told you that I'm sure you kind of grew up watching wrestling, enjoying wrestling. It wasn't just something that you said, hey, well, I want to be an actor, I want to be an athlete, and I want to be a TV star. You know what? I'm going to become a professional wrestler because I can do all of those things in one. What was your upbringing like in professional wrestling?
So in terms of me just getting into it to make it my profession, well, it's just something that's always been ingrained in me. You know, my father used to bring me to the New Haven Coliseum when you know, like WWE would come to New Haven. There used to be a Coliseum in New Haven. So they used to run the New Haven. And, you know, 5 years old, 6 or 7. You know, of course, you look at those guys and you say, oh, Daddy, I want to do that. And, you know, you probably think nothing of it. And then as I got older, I realized, wow, I really should do this. I should stop playing college football. I should really dedicate my life to this. And then I did that, and here I am today.
And you kind of have a similar story, and I think that's why you probably connect so well with your tag team partner, MJF. He's someone as well that was in college and in football and was well scouted and then decided, you know what? This isn't for me. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm going to go be a professional wrestler and I'm going to go find the best school that there is. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. And there's nothing you can tell me different. And look at you guys now. So coming from the background where, you know what? Football is not for me. Wrestling is what it is. And proving all those essential naysayers wrong, I'm sure, is kind of fuel for the fire. What was that conversation like with your family, your friends, potentially even significant others saying, you know what, I played football for this long, but no, I'm going to go pursue this now.
You know, it was very simple. It was friends, family. I'm no longer playing football. I'm going to be a professional wrestler. And then everybody in just a unanimous agreement was like, you know what, you should totally do that because you're going to be absolutely amazing at it. And, you know, lo and behold, I feel like I am. So they are completely supportive. They love it. They love coming to shows anytime that I'm local. And it's great for them. I've made them into consumers. My own family are consumers.
Well, if they're not supporting you and buying all your merchandise and being your number one fans, I mean, what kind of a support team is that?
Yeah, they are buying my merchandise, just so you know. There's no family discount.
I could just imagine, like, with some superstars out there, give their T-shirts and their merchandise as, like, Christmas gifts. It's like, congratulations. Like, now you can look better. Like, I know you wanted Armani, but, I mean, you got top of the line right there. You got a Dynasty T-shirt. You're going to be the coolest person on the block.
Exactly. And it's like, all right, Mom, you want a Dynasty T-shirt? $20. Cough it up.
Yeah. Like, I'm not UNICEF. Like, I got to make a living, too. I got to pay rent. You don't want me living in your basement, do you?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I completely support it. And anyone that says, hey, toss this to me for free, I'm like, no. Like, you're not supporting the cause. I'm going to wind up back, like, crashing on your couch in no time. So,
and
when
it's,
you...
It's like, I don't necessarily need the $20. Like, I'll be fine. It's just a principle, you know?
Yeah. No, I completely understand. They shouldn't ask for freebies. They should be your number one supporters. So when a new line comes out, they're the first credit card information that's put in on the website.
Yeah, guys got to live, right?
Yeah. No,
guys
absolutely.
Gotta live.
So when you had that conversation with family and friends and they said, you know what, you're absolutely going to be perfect at it, what steps did you take from there to make sure that you could make this dream a reality?
By the way, I love how you have successfully integrated the questions that I tried to avoid back into the podcast. Bravo, bravo. And I'm going to go ahead and just answer them now because we've pretty much just started answering them, right? Like you've subliminally made me answer these questions.
You're very welcome. I was hoping that you would catch on to that.
I caught on. I have a college degree, so caught on. I went to Paradise Eye Professional Wrestling, East Haven, Connecticut, operated and owned by Pretty Paul Roma, who I'm sure you're fairly familiar with if you are a diehard wrestling fan. Power and Glory, Young Stallions, Four Horsemen.
I was going to say Young Stallions, yeah.
Yeah. You know, really, really a great professional wrestler and a tremendous tree to learn under. And I am so thankful for my time with Paul. I continue to learn from Paul. He's my biggest supporter. And I'm again, I'm very thankful for him. And I would recommend anybody in the Connecticut area and really the New England area to go ahead and check his school out, Paradise Eye Pro Wrestling, and get trained by somebody who's you know, been to where you want to be. You know, I think that is super important when getting trained. There's a lot of great trainers in New England, but I think Paul sticks out, and I think Paul is somebody that you should really go out of your way to try and at least learn from.
Mm. And kind of just grasp that knowledge, someone that's been in that position. And I know that's a huge challenge with some of the people that we've had on our show previously. You get this knowledge from someone that's there, and at some point you do reach that point where it's like, okay, well, what I'm doing is working. Why do I have to still listen to you? And you kind of have that aha moment, like, you know what? Like, he's been there. He's just looking out. And I promise you that's the only question that will be off kilter to what you challenge me against. I will put it down right now. That will be a challenge. But I do want to talk a little bit about challenges. Now, someone like yourself that has the athletic background, they have the looks, they have the attitude in itself. I obviously, when you were at that school, you ran into some individuals that they've been dubbed on our show as mooks by one Jackson Argos. So you were in wrestling school with some mooks that are just looking at this as hobbies. So what kind of challenges did you find when you stepped into the wrestling industry and into training, and essentially here you are with the mindset of I'm going to be the most marketable superstar in professional wrestling, and this person's like, oh, well, I'd be happy with a hot dog and a handshake. What kind of challenges did you experience going through training and some of those individuals that you ran into that were trying to give you their 2 cents that really that's all it was really worth was just 2 cents?
Well, real quick, who are these mooks that you speak of? Are there people interested? You don't have to name the name, but are there people within PAPW that you are being ultra-specific with?
Well, not MLW. I'm just referring to some individuals. Whether I've experienced them or I've just heard about them from other superstars that we've had on the show, there's multiple different people that look at professional wrestling like, I can do that. Like, that's not a problem. Like, I can easily do that. Then they go and they talk like they've been like a 40-year veteran when literally all they've done is take a back bump.
I mean, so I despise those people. You know, the people that don't take this as seriously as I do. And maybe there aren't people who do take it as serious as I do because this is my life. But, there are people that fit a certain mold that they don't necessarily need to be incredibly in shape or tan or things of that nature, right? That, like, I'll give an example, like the Big Show. He's 7 foot tall, yeah. 500 pounds. He's not going to be shredded, right? He's not gonna you know, have ultra cardiovascular shape. He probably did, to be honest with you, but there are certain people that have that can fit a certain role. But for the run of the mill guy who's going out there and trying to entertain the consumers, and you know they have hairy armpits and they're not, it doesn't look like they hit a weight once in their life or they ever ate a salad once in their life, and they go out there and they expect to be a superstar. Well, I just don't understand how they expect to make it anywhere without giving maximum effort. This is a full-time job. This is full-time. Every decision that I make directly impacts my professional wrestling career. If I want to work out or if I want to miss a workout, it's going to affect my career. If I'm going to eat something healthy or unhealthy, it's going to affect my career. If I'm going to drink alcohol or not drink alcohol, it's going to affect my career. I think about every single move that I make. And I don't think a lot of people do that. I don't think enough people do that. And I think that's why a lot of guys you'll see
you know, they'll have that bitter veteran attitude when all they've done is wrestled in the same two promotions for 10 years, right? You know, you're going to see that on almost every show. And hopefully at one point those people are just out of the business. But until then, you know, I'll just stick out.
And the worst part of it is those are the same individuals that are just showing up, unfortunately, when a promotion is shorthanded, and they're the ones that, oh, well, you only had to pay me X amount of dollars. And they use that to their credit. Well, oh, I performed here. I performed here. And then they get onto those shows, and they continuously – and, like, I hate to use this word. I really do. But I kind of call them cancers to the business. Because they're individuals, they don't care about their own self. They care about the $20. They care about the exposure. They care about putting it on their cage match, saying that I performed here, I performed here, I performed here. Okay, you did a 5-second like run-in, and you did it for a hot dog and a handshake, and afterwards you went and you spent that $5, and you had a $40 bar tab at the end of the night. Like, you're not helping anything if you're really not go. If this is your profession, if this is what you're saying is your job, you should take it as serious. Like, this isn't Walmart. Like, it's not where they can just find any, like Joe Schmo on the street to replace you. Like, there's professional wrestlers, and then there's like individuals. Like, I don't want to put this individual down, but like there's people like Superhuman, who, if you haven't seen him on social media, like, another thing, you're I don't know what you're doing with your social media life. It's a guy that jumps on top of stuff and literally does it for gigolos and gigolettes everywhere. It's hilarious.
Oh, that guy. Oh my God. He's hilarious.
He had to find something to get attention, right? Yeah, he had to do something on social media to garner attention, because he wasn't going to get it any other way. And that's the nicest way I can possibly say anything about him. But to go back to what you were saying, I mean, yeah, if one of us, Max or Hammer or myself, walks through the curtain, we're going to stick out, especially to the casual consumer, like someone who's never been to a show before. Because we're going to entertain them, and we're going to make them, you know, believe in professional wrestling again. And they're going to say, wow, those guys are legit. Those guys are going to make it. You know, and then you'll see the other people who are, you know, wearing shirts while they wrestle or you know, sneakers and just looking like shit.
You know, in my defense, when I was in a wrestling match, I don't really work out regularly, unfortunately. I was in a t-shirt. I was in tennis shoes. I was in track pants. Like, I looked like Drew Carey in like the 2002 Royal Rumble, essentially.
Oh, like, my God.
Yeah.
What were we doing, man?
It was, long story. I'll tell you.
Jack got himself into trouble. He opened his mouth.
I did. I opened my mouth. I took it a little too far. I got a challenge to a wrestling match. Luckily, I had some great tag team partners in Izzy Lambert and the Monster Abyss, but I never really thought to myself that if I get tagged in by Abyss, I actually have to step through the ropes. And then what happens at that point, like, it's not a Royal Rumble. I can't jump over the top rope and say, hey, I'm eliminated. Like, no, I'm fucking legal. Like, I got to wrestle. And they're going to beat the shit out of me, which they did, respectfully. And I literally got the shit kicked out of me. And it's completely – I'm man enough to admit it. They kicked the living shit out of me. And I did it in tennis shoes, track pants, and a shirt that I did purchase. I did purchase. But it was of the opposing our opponents, and I altered their shirt slightly. But I did pay for it, and that's what matters.
Well, at least you contributed to the funds, I guess. I mean, send me this YouTube link of this match, and let's just move on.
I absolutely will. But speaking of YouTube, Dave, you've kind of been a little quiet. Please tell me you have seen this Superhuman that we've been talking about.
Who's Dave?
Dave is my co-host, too.
Yeah, the guy who's hiding over here.
He's hiding in the corner.
Dave, you haven't said a freaking word this whole time.
He's just been kind of taking everything in, I guess.
Pretty much.
But please tell me you've seen the Superhuman.
I've seen the guy who jumps on the air conditioners, yeah.
Oh, no, no. I meant Dave, because you knew exactly who I was talking about. But, Dave, you were...
I would like to invoke my Fifth Amendment rights.
Okay. We're taking a step back here, because, Richard, I need your help here with my friend that...
Dave is throwing off the whole fluff.
You muted him, and like then I chimed in. I took him off mute, unfortunately. And here we are now. We're giving him an opportunity to speak, and I mean, we've only given him 15 seconds, right, yeah, and
Pat,
he's already cut off.
All right, Pat, let's be quiet. Dave, speak.
Don't know. No, I don't know. I have not seen the videos of who you were speaking of.
You've never seen the superhuman guy?
No, I have not.
Well, you're probably better off for not seeing it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'll give him the benefit there. This is an individual that, just like Richard said, I wouldn't say he's really begging for attention, but in my personal life, I wouldn't jump on a light tube, thumbtacks, and barbed wire for fun. And he does them for 9-second videos. He says it for gigolos and gigolettes everywhere, and then he does either a front flip or a diving elbow. And he does it on top of microwaves, air conditioners, light tubes, light bulbs, Legos, all this stuff. It's a video every single week of him doing something.
I'd rather put my time into people who matter.
Very true. And that's why you watch MLW and the Dynasty.
Exactly. Good segue.
Very good segue. So, Dave, now that you're on, now this is how uncultured my co-host is. So, kind of going off.
Is this
going
to turn into Dave bashing now?
Of course it is. You've been sitting in the corner for the last 25 minutes while Richard and I have been having a fantastic conversation about Richard.
Yeah.
So, here we are, and we're going to make this segment called Reasons Why Dave is Uncultured and Not a Follower of the Dynasty and Will Be Barred for Life. That's what we'll call it. It's going to be a long tagline. It's going to be a horrible website to make, but you know what? I'm going to get the domain name right now. Richard, let me ask you a question. What are some of the best movies ever made, in your personal opinion? What are some of the best movies you've ever seen?
Just, okay, of any genre.
Any genre.
I'm going to go with The Departed.
Yes.
Seen that.
I'm going to go with Titanic.
Good call.
Titanic, The Departed. I was a big fan of The Fighter.
That was good.
Christian Bale?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, haven't seen it.
Oh, my God, Dave.
Good Will Hunting?
Yeah, I haven't seen that either.
Jesus.
Oh, so you're like the guy who's never seen the movies that you need to see?
Yes.
Apparently, according to 4 people.
I had to persuade him over to my house with alcohol to watch a movie that we've been telling him to watch since 4th grade. If that tells you anything, he has just now in 2019, he finally saw Shawshank Redemption.
Finally saw it?
Yes, finally. Finally watched it.
Well, Pat, yes. You know, let's get a couple other movies on that list. Like, you seen The Departed?
Absolutely. It's my favorite movie of all time.
Okay, good. All right, at least you've seen that.
Other great movies, one that Dave has actually seen, Forrest Gump, another great movie. Another fantastic movie that no matter what part of the movie it's on, you got to watch it. A Bronx Tale.
Oh, Bronx Tale is an absolute classic.
Oh, yeah. Dave?
No.
Oh, my God.
My parents saw the play recently, though.
Oh. Well, at least we know your parents are cultured. Jesus.
Fuck you, Pat.
Love you too, Dave. Other great movies. I mean, you've not named off a couple of them. Good Will Hunting is another good one. I'm a big fan. American Psycho is fantastic. The Fighter, I love too. Was a big fan. It doesn't really get good reviews, but The Guardian with Kevin Costner and Ashton Kutcher. It's actually really good, too. That's
never seen that. Not sure it classifies under the must-watch category. Although, Dave,
no.
I do have to be honest. I have to have honesty hour here. Yeah. Hammer Stone does not let me live it down that I've never seen his all-time favorite movie, and I need to watch it out of pure love for my Dynasty bro. I've never seen Fight Club.
I haven't either, so I'm with you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're both muted.
Hammerstone, if you're listening, buddy, I love you, man. I'm going to watch Fight Club.
Hammerstone, just invite him over with his favorite snacks and his favorite beverage and tell him that you have, like, 15 girls at the house and you can't handle it yourself, and literally just walk in, put him in a headlock, throw him on the couch, and throw on Fight Club and say, we're doing this tonight. That's what you need to do.
I told him to bring it. Amazon's my guy in the road. We dunk off on the road. So I told him, I said, bring it, man. Let's watch this Fight Club gimmick. And he didn't bring it. So it's his fault. His fault. I've never seen it.
I will hold him to that, because there's numerous times where, like, I bring the movie or I make offers to bring said movie and I'm turned down from it. There's a lot. I mean, this conversation could literally go on for about 2 hours of movies that Dave has not seen.
Here's the thing when it comes to Fight Club. Are you not supposed to be talking about Fight Club?
Touche. So we should really move on from that, because we're breaking the first rule of Fight Club right now. But let's talk about another great. Have you seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood yet?
No, it just came out.
Yeah, it literally just came out, Pat.
That's why I said, have you seen it yet? I was moving on from the great movies, and I just thought I'd transition, because he seems like, from the conversation we've had, he does seem like he is a Leonardo DiCaprio fan.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Real fan.
Well, plus, Tarantino does put out some good movies.
We could talk about Tarantino movies right now. Great movie, Inglourious Basterds.
Fucking love that movie.
Oh, it's so good. Never love seen. Tarantino. You've never seen Inglourious Basterds?
No. It looked kind of cheesy.
The only thing when it comes to his movies, you need to give yourself 3 hours.
Yeah. I will say that my wife's favorite Tarantino movies, I still have not seen. I have not seen Kill Bill Volume 1 or Volume 2.
I haven't either. And
I don't know. I mean, I'm a Tarantino fan. I just, for some reason, I couldn't get into. I watched, I think, like, an maybe 25 minutes of Kill Bill, the first one. Just, it didn't grab me like his other films did. Like Pulp Fiction, I mean, within the first like 10 minutes, you're like, yeah, I'm watching this. Like, oh, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay, I'm going to bed at 5:30. So who knows?
Yeah.
I teach you that in elementary school.
I got distracted by Dave. He finally decided that he wanted to take part in the conversation.
Have you gotten it out of your system there, Pat?
I did. I feel a lot better about myself now that the day bashing has continued for another episode, which I'm happy about. I do get a little bit of pride out of that. But
the way this is going, we're gonna need like a theme song and a segment.
Well, we really do.
Just for you to get your rocks off.
If you would stop talking, I would ask Richard if you'd be more than happy to throw a chair at you like I do on every single episode.
What do you want me to do? Throw a chair on Dave?
Throw a chair at Dave, yes.
Well, Dave, just so you know, if I had a chair anywhere near me and you were near me, I would throw it at you.
Oh, one more for the home team.
I feel like we need to get the running list going, Pat, of everyone that you convinced to hit me with a chair.
The list is growing by the day, and it just gets bigger names to it. But I don't think the list would be complete if Richard Holiday wasn't at the top of it. That's all I'm going to say. And now hearing that he had a chair next to him, he would throw it at you. That's music to my ears.
Babe, if I didn't have a chair next to me, I would tell you to stay put, drive to Home Depot, buy a chair, come back, throw it at you.
That's the first. That is commitment to the cause. So we could talk about throwing things at Dave or insulting Dave. Dave's a great guy. I mean, you could find him all across Tinder and Bumble. For those individuals that are looking to follow him, I mean, Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. I'm sorry, I got tongue tied there. I'm sorry, just messing around. But
keep bumbling, Dave. You just made a couple of points there. Keep bumbling.
He just got a couple hearts there. But moving things along with the reason why we're here. So with MLW,
get back to your back.
Go back to your corner, Dave.
So, Richard, as we were talking before we rudely interrupted, with the innovations that MLW has come, just in, you could look at the last year alone in the innovation that they made would be with their TV deal, with their social media platforms, with the talent that they've acquired as well, and also just overall, just the press that they've gotten. What has kind of shocked you from coming into this world of MLW, from essentially being in wrestling school, working in independence, and now you're a part of one of the biggest independent promotions in the country at this moment? Was it more culture shock, or was it more like, well, why wouldn't I be
here? Yeah, I think it was more of a realization, because this is where an individual like myself is going to thrive, right, on a national television scale. This is where I'm going to put my best foot forward and put my skill set to the best use. When you look at what MLW is doing, it's really groundbreaking if you think about it. So we're on a national television program on BN Sports every single Saturday night, 9 p.m. Then we're going to upload that. We're going to put it on YouTube every Monday at 7 p.m. for everybody to watch for free if you don't have BN Sports. Then we're in the UK and Ireland on national TV. We just inked a deal that we're going to be on TV in Africa. We just signed a partnership with Pro Wrestling Noah based out of Japan, where we're going to be sending talent over there, starting with my dynasty bro, Alexander Hammerstone, is going to go over there and represent. So we're doing some really, really big things in this industry. And we are at the top of the food chain. MLW is absolutely a premier destination in professional wrestling.
I would agree. And there's multitudes of different talent that are coming in there and just trying to get their footing in there. And there's multiple different people that have just had one match, two matches that have literally come onto our show saying, man, I'd love to go back there and be able to be a part of that. But not everyone can be a mainstay like the Dynasty or many other talent. And that kind of brings me to my next question. Now, I understand you have loyalty for the Dynasty from top to bottom. MJF, Hammerstone, and Aria as well. But I want to just take the curtain back a little bit and ask you your personal thoughts on the roster in itself. Other than the Dynasty and yourself, who are some talent that you feel like need a little bit more, I wouldn't really say a push, but really need to be more of a mainstay, more of a household name, or more talked about, or even just social, on social media platforms, where they, you feel as though these people aren't getting the credit that they deserve? Other than the Dynasty, who are some names on, even if it's not an MLW, even some individuals that you've worked in the independent circuits, what are some names that come to mind of, you need to check this person out if you've never heard of them?
Well, there's a lot of people who are very talented in independent professional wrestling currently. If you take a look at the Northeast, a couple people who I think are making great strides are going to be their country. If you're not familiar with Bronson and Beefcake, that's a tag team that's really making some strides right now. Other than that, man, I think people are you know, they're on their own path. And it's going to be up to them in order to, you know, get themselves over per se and make themselves a household name, get onto a national scale. But if I had to pick a couple of names, I'd go with those guys. Are you familiar?
I am.
Yeah. They're an incredible talent. But other than that, man, I think it's all about the Dynasty. I mean, the Dynasty should just be, segments A through Z on MLW. I really think the consumers would just tune in if it was just an hour straight of us.
I mean, due to some recent comments that were made on social media, I think the Dynasty should even run commentary when they're not wrestling, in my opinion. And
yeah, like we can just, when we're wrestling, then the other people can just do commentary. Hell, we'll do the ring announcing too.
I mean, you can even do like NFL style, like where you're mic'd up, like just be mic'd up in the ring.
Yeah, like I think if it was just everything Dynasty, we might beat Raw on the ratings, to be honest with you.
Well, with the product they're putting out, it'd be pretty easy to do that.
Why have you done it already then? Wow, Dave from the Peanut Gallery. Richard, I'll let you take this one.
Dave, what did you even say, Dave? I wasn't even listening to you.
Well, if MLW should already be all the dynasty all the time, why isn't it already?
Why isn't it beating the ratings right now?
Or why haven't you guys taken over the show? Is what I'm saying.
Have you watched the show?
Well, yeah. Do you watch the show? We are a majority of the show, Dave. Listen, Dave, I don't have to explain to you, okay? Just watch MLW and enjoy.
That's going to be your task for the next week. I want you to watch MLW and tell me that the Dynasty isn't a mainstay on the show, a constant reference on the show, a constant target on the show. I mean, there's not a title that the Dynasty is. I feel like this should be Richard, but I feel offended that you would even ask our guest a question like that. Wow, Dave. Like, it's the Dynasty has every single title in their grasp, in their eye, and they're constantly making strides to obtain every single piece of gold that is on that product. And you're going to ask them why they aren't the mainstay? They are the mainstay.
Yeah, Dave, there's a certain level of professionalism that you need to that you need to abide by when you're conducting a podcast with superstars such as myself. And you're just continuously crossing the line with me, Dave. So what I need you to do is refrain from bad questions. Think before you speak. Maybe like text Pat before you're about to speak, like, hey Pat, you think it'd be cool if I asked this? And I don't offend Richard anymore. I think that would be the best course of action.
I think so, too. I think we need to do that. I think I need to print him out I guess it could be standardized approved questions for the interview.
Pat, like, isn't that why we got rid of your other co-host?
Well, he was on drugs. So you are a step above him. And, yes, you are extremely entertaining, but there is decorum that needs to be held. So this is a warning. So I apologize, Richard. So obviously, if you haven't followed MLW like some people, like David, you should really do so. But I don't want to take too much more of your time. I don't want to run the risk of my co-host opening his mouth that doesn't have a chair coming at it and insulting you anymore. So I just have a few additional questions for you. So first and foremost, Richard, what is next for the Dynasty for Richard Holiday? And what can we expect from MLW on all these different platforms? I mean, the product itself, I mean, you look at all the different promotions all across the U.S., and here's your promotion that is being asked to come be on TV in Ireland, in Africa, on all these different platforms. You're going into Pro Wrestling NOAH to represent the world, which a lot of people, uneducated mooks, that is, think that Pro Wrestling NOAH is New Japan Pro Wrestling for some reason, believe it or not. And that's, yeah. But what is next for the Dynasty with all these different platforms that you're being on, new audiences to introduce yourselves to? What can we expect moving into the later parts of 2019 from the Dynasty and also yourself in particular?
Well, the world of MLW never sleeps, right? So we're always constantly making moves, and we're constantly shocking the system. What's next is we're going to be going to Dallas. MLW is taking over Dallas on September 7th. And one might think that, oh, you know, the consumers in Dallas really want to see the Von Erichs because there's so much history of the Von Erichs in Dallas. Well, newsflash, nobody cares about the Von Erichs anymore. It's all about the Dynasty now. Even the Von Erichs family, they're saying, man, we are just so excited to see the Dynasty finally come to Dallas because these are professional wrestling superstars. So we're going to go there, me and Max, and we're just going to absolutely take over that city and make it Dynasty, bro.
I like it.
Other than that, I'm probably just going to keep doing my thing, being the most marketable man in wrestling. Gracing everybody's television screens, YouTube screens, iPhone screens, whatever screen you watch me on, your PlayStation View screen.
I mean, the list goes on and on. If you haven't made an attempt to even watch an MLW show like some people,
The list goes on and on of all the different platforms. You have no reason why you shouldn't have at least turned it on at least once, because that's all you really need. It's like The Departed. All you have to do is just watch it once, and then anytime it shows up on TV, it's 4:30 in the morning. I've worked a 20-hour shift. Oh, man, let's put it on TV. Oh, The Departed's on. Okay, cool. Got to watch this. And you know it's true. You can deny it all you want. You know it's true. The Departed's on. You're watching it from start to finish. Unless it's the edited version, then it's not as fun. But yeah, one version. Oh God, like it's what Dave. You're gonna have to help me out. I'm gonna take you out of podcast jail really quick. What movie is it that? Oh, Die Hard. Die Hard. Mother Lover. Is that what they dub it?
Yeah. It just looks like really hokey. Absolutely.
Oh my God! Like you watch something. What station is it? I think it's TBS.
Yeah, TBS.
They have the. Oh my God! They have the worst subs ever. With every single curse word that they take out, it's just utterly
at
terrible.
At that point, just kind of half mute it.
I do. Like I already know all the words anyway. But yeah. Well, we do have one final question for you, Richard. It's kind of a staple of our show. We're big practical jokers. The list of people that I've asked if they would throw a chair at my co-host has been growing consistently. We're big practical jokers. He's pulled some jokes on me. I pulled some jokes on him, too. Now, a little off kilter, but I want to know what the best rib story is for yourself, whether it's happened to you, you experienced it personally, or you heard it on the road as well. I mean, we had a fantastic one last week. We heard about a situation where Tony Atlas got drugged by Mr. Fuji at a house show. So to say that the expectations are high is an understatement, but what's the best rib story you have?
God, I mean, you have to understand that the business is so much different now than when Tony Atlas was running, you know, up and down the road. Drugs were extremely prevalent in those days, whereas today everybody is more health conscious and clean cut. So, you know, those rib stories, those are really just, they're never going to happen again. You know, what's happening now is very harmless. And, you know, I don't even know if you can really consider them ribs. And I hate to disappoint you, but there's really not much. Guys like me, Max and Hammerstone, I mean, we're very to the point. We're very get our business done and be the best that we can. As boring as an answer as that is, that's what gets us to the top. That's what sets us apart, is being very straight and narrow. So, unfortunately, gentlemen, I don't have the rib stories for you.
No, that's fine. I completely understand that. But
you got to put your head down and, you know, grind to the top.
You know, that's what we're doing. So,
no, and that's what you have to do, because I think it goes back to your earlier point that there's people that look at this as a profession, there's people that look at this and take it seriously, and then there's people that look at it as a hobby. And I'm someone, I can look at something and be professional, and I still joke around every now and then, but it's good to hear that you are 100% focused in becoming the best at what you're doing. So definitely kudos to you. You're still young. Yeah, you have a hell of a future ahead of you, but in the short time that you have been doing this, to have the reputation and also have the following, but also the track record that you've had so far, it goes to speak. I'm like at a loss for words just to explain it. It can't be matched.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I definitely appreciate you coming on as well. If you want to follow along with his career, once again, you can follow him on social media. You can find him on Instagram at @MostMarketable. You can find him also on Twitter if you haven't logged off of this interview and done so yet. I mean, you could have easily done that with every single platform that we're on. You can just go check it out right now and find ways that you can find him all across social media. Or you can even subscribe to MLW's YouTube channel as well. Get all the updates, all the promos, and all match free content that your heart can desire. So, Richard, we truly appreciate you coming onto the show with us as well. Best of luck in everything, and we look forward to see what the next platform of MLW brings for you as well, but also to see where you venture out to next as well.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
So I don't understand how every single interview that we have, whenever it's someone that you may not agree with, you just have this knack with getting on their bad side to the point where they offer to throw chairs at you willingly.
Well, doesn't it help when you sit there and give them the idea, dumbass? Well,
I give him the idea, but the fact that he was so willing and just so amped to go to Home Depot to buy a chair just to throw at you, not even for his own personal comfort, but would literally go out of his way at night to go to the store to get said chair just to implant your face in it. That is dedication. And
well, when you offer your credit card to go do so, anyone's going to go to the hardware store to go get some stuff.
I call erroneous. Erroneous on all counts. I simply just made the offer. He had already offered to go, and I said, you could always just use my credit card if you would like. Just in case he was, like, you don't know what's going on. He could have just made a large investment. He could have just invested in MLW and in MLW stock. Obviously, it's going to pay off immediately, but you just don't know. But I digress. Another episode, another guest offer your face. So I call that an overall victory. But what can we talk about that we haven't already talked about? What have we missed on social media? I mean, I kind of talked to you off the air originally, but I think we definitely have to bring it up, and I kind of do want to get your opinion on it. So there was some Twitter beef that came out that you may or may not have seen, but overall, the question was, I guess you could say the question was presented, whether or not individuals live the gimmick. And I think it went back to it. There was one individual, I think it was Jim Cornette, that came out stating that a large majority of wrestlers are coming out and they're changing their name on social media to their real names, their shoot names, as it would be called. And he said that he misses the days where everyone just kind of lived the gimmick. And I kind of want to get your two cents on it. What are your thoughts regarding these individuals living a gimmick? Because do you feel that if you live a gimmick and if someone comes up, like let's say that you have your niece with you and you walk up to a bad guy on TV and you ask for them to take a picture or an autograph, do you expect them to live that gimmick to the point where they tell you to go piss off?
See, here's my thought. No, I agree. Honestly, time. I know we talked about this off air. Times are different. Jim Cornette, yeah. I think, has turned into a cranky old man. It's kind of like all of us. Our parents, when they got older, new music sucked. They liked what they listened to. I'm getting to the point, honestly, new music sucks. I loved what I listened to growing up. My niece, your kids, they're going to get to a point. New music to them is going to suck. They're going to love what they grew up with.
Oh, no. That's today. Like, my son has the most eclectic music taste out of anyone I've ever met. He loves Queen. He loves The Who. He loves all those classic rock.
Exactly. But he's going to get to a point when he's, you know, 20s, 30s, where it's like, you know what? The stuff that's coming out, like, at that time is going to suck to him, and he's going to still enjoy all of this stuff. It's some people just don't like change. No. They like what they grew up with, what they first came up with, like came up in. And you know what? You know, to grow, you must have, it's adapt or die.
I agree.
And it's everything. And a lot of these companies are just adapting. And it's just the way things are now. Hell, I don't know if it's still called this, but what? The reality era?
Yeah.
It's because of that. It's because essentially social media has taken, you know, look at the one video, ironically. Social media has taken down the curtain.
Yeah.
It's taken down the curtain. You're now so involved in a lot of these people's personal lives. You know their real name. You knew what you know, where they're from, their families. Where before it's, this is who they are. This is their gimmick. You have no idea who. It was before face and heel couldn't even leave the arena together.
Well, and I think
it was the whole kayfabe thing. Now, let's be honest, kayfabe's dead.
Yes. I never thought that kayfabe really existed anyway. But
no, and it probably didn't. But you know what? A lot of them bought into it a hell of a lot more than they did because there was no social media. It was a lot harder to find these people. Now, guess what? You know, with a click of a button, you can find out just about anything you want.
Oh, yeah. You look at a prime example. In the days of our past, if that turn of the Shield happened, they all traveled together. From that night on, hey, you're not allowed to travel anymore. Okay, right. Well, who can I travel with? Well, you can't travel with any face characters or, like, any good guys. You can only travel with bad guys. Okay, I'm not friends with any bad guys. Who am I going to go with? Okay, cool. I'll just go in the trunk of, like, my friend's car or something. Like I don't get – and, yes, it was a grumpy old man. And the fact that you have to call out someone like Jordynne Grace, who literally – is making strides to better the wrestling community, not just from the standpoint of women's professional wrestling, but professional wrestling as a whole, where she's institutionalizing intergender wrestling into her repertoire constantly. She's constantly the one that's coming out. And I'm not saying she's the only one. There's multiple different people. But she's one person that's making it her goal to constantly have intergender wrestling matches to prove that, hey, women can do this too. And people don't agree with that. The great example was we were at IWC 18. I know I go back to it all the time. There was an individual that sat down next to Shannon, my wife, during a match. And it was the match between Chris LaRusso and Britt Baker. The winner advanced to the Super Indie Tournament. And this individual decided that it was his right to have a conversation with my wife, which anyone can, that was bad word. Anyone can talk to my wife. But when you feel the need that you need to lecture my wife on how she shouldn't enjoy this because a man shouldn't fight a woman, when my wife was literally enjoying the hell out of it, she was enjoying it because it's something she doesn't see all the time. But Britt Baker's putting on a show and she's hanging with Chris LaRusso. And she's proving that, hey, I don't have to have a women's match. I can have a match with the men, and it can be just as entertaining. And this guy is literally sitting there looking at the entire crowd. Why are you guys cheering for this? It's like, because it's wrestling. There's no right way to wrestle. Just enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, guess what? Keep your opinions to yourself. Just because you paid a ticket doesn't mean that you have every right to express every waking desire that you have. It's just it's poppycock to me.
Yeah, it's, but, like, if you really don't like it, don't go. If it bugs you that much, don't go, and let that seat be filled by someone who actually enjoys it and wants to be there.
And if you want to post a picture of your significant other on social media, far be it from us to stop you. We'll probably actually like it, because you know what, it shows that you're human. Yes, you are larger than life characters on a national scale. Whether you're on Independence or there are people that literally follow your every move. To show them something other than wrestling, it reminds them that, hey, they like this. Like, one thing was Britt Baker posted a video where she's like doing like this Q&A with Adam Cole. Adam Cole, if you don't know who he is, come on. Like, how do you not? But she posted a video where she's asking him, like, his top favorites. And, like, going back to Richard Holiday, hey, what are some great movies? Okay, do you hear about that in the wrestling world? No. Like, what do these people do outside of the wrestling world? Why can't we get brought into that world?
No, and I'll be honest. That's, like, one thing that, you know, we interview all these different people. That's one thing I love when we do is – I love hearing all the wrestling stuff, but I also love hearing some of their real life stories. I am a fan of the human interest story. Yeah. So talking to these guys and girls about, you know, their normal life, Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, you are this bigger than life person, but at the same time, you are a human being with interests and a life outside of wrestling.
Oh yeah, like my wife, yeah, like the movie, her go-to movie, which no matter when it is, even if it's on TV, she has to record it, is A Time to Kill with Samuel Jackson and Matthew McConaughey. If you haven't seen it, a fantastic movie. That's her go-to movie. But why can't someone that's in the wrestling industry, because they need to live this gimmick, why can't they post a picture of them going to a concert or posting a picture after a concert with the superstar saying, fantastic show? Oh, no, that's not living the gimmick because you're not supposed to like socializing or blah, blah, blah. It's ridiculous. These people have lives. They didn't stop their life because they're superstars. Even if they're on the independent, why does everything you have to post have to be about wrestling? I love wrestling, but guess what? I also love professional football. I love professional baseball. I'm a huge sucker for like a good murder mystery type deal or suspense films. My favorite TV shows. I love, we could talk about it. We love The Office. I personally love Shameless. I'm a huge Stranger Things fan. Like the list goes on and on. I do other things.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, and we had this conversation with a couple different people, you know, like TJ Perkins, video games. Like, why can't we, yes, let's talk, find out your, you know, your wrestling background and what you're striving for and your career and talk about that. But why can't we also talk about what makes you human and some of our common interests? Because you know why? Now you become a little more relatable. And that it's like, you know what?
Another great example about that, Madman Fulton. Yeah. Hate him. But without asking that question, would anyone know they see this gargantuan on Impact Wrestling destroying people? Would you know that he has a degree in marine biology? No. That is the human interest stories that interest me. I want to know the behind the scenes. That's the purpose of this show. I want to get to know the people behind the characters. And that's the whole reason why I started this. And then seeing Jim Cornette, someone that I met personally, like pretty much shit on everything that I'm doing because I'm going behind the curtain and I'm getting people outside of their gimmick. I'm not living the wrestling world. Fuck you, Jim Cornette. And that's where I'll leave it at. We'll just move on from there because I think that just sums it up.
Yeah, we may not agree with him. You know what? He wants to have his opinion. Fine. We don't agree with it. We be you. You want to be one way in the ring? Great.
Go figure. I'm staring at the autograph that the Dark Match podcast got from Jim Cornette.
Yeah.
So he needs to get moved, I guess. I don't know. But we could talk about everything else going on in the wrestling world. One thing I want to bring up, I sent you the screenshot, and we talk about it in every single show, but my God, is this 24/7 championship not fucking entertaining?
Did you see what happened tonight?
I did not. We were recording an interview. We're recording this on Monday night. It's 11:47 at night.
Fine. Do you want me to fill you in?
Please, because everyone else already knows what happened anyway. We're not giving any spoilers away. What happened?
Okay, so Raw actually started with, they called it a mosh pit mixed tag for the 24/7 title.
That's already sounds stupid.
Essentially, it was a lumberjack. It was a mixed tag lumberjack match.
Oh, okay.
So it was Carmella and R-Truth versus Drake,
Renee Michelle.
And Renee Michelle. So Renee, you know, let's just say she didn't get really in the match. Drake ends up losing. Let's be honest, Drake ends up losing. It got very interesting. So R-Truth is all of a sudden celebrating, and then every single person outside just hops up on the apron.
Yeah.
And he's literally cheering and looking around, and all of a sudden it's just, oh, shit. And yeah, it literally turned into a dog pile.
Jesus.
So John Cone counts 1, 2, 3. You know who comes out? You know who comes out of the bottom? Mike Kanellis.
Mike Kanellis?
Comes out with the belt. So
like
he runs
senior official Mike. Oh no, Mike Kanellis. You said
yes.
I Mike was thinking Bennett. Of Mike Chioda.
No, not Mike. No,
I
Mike,
was like,
fine, Mike Bennett. How's that?
Thank you, Mike Bennett. Okay,
Mike Bennett. So, okay. So he goes hiding into, I guess, the official's locker room, and then eventually Maria gets in there. You know, there's actually a post like she's like trying to knock on the door and says some very vulgar things to get him to open the door.
Oh,
essentially, kicking him in the vagina.
Oh Jesus!
Oh yeah, it gets worse. Apparently, they came back from commercial and she berated him enough where he literally laid down. She put a foot on him and became the first ever pregnant champion.
Is this where we're left off right now?
Last I saw, yes.
My
God. Last I saw. Oh, and she had a couple different people. She was laying into Titus O'Neil. I saw it was on, but it was muted, that Braun Strowman showed up at one point later in the show. So last I know, she still has the title.
Well, only time will tell. But, I mean, that post from Drake Maverick, if he gets sucked out of the title, and that's why I think it's great that Kanellis has a Bennett or whatever you want to call him, has it now, because the dynamic.
No, he doesn't. Maria's technically the champion.
But they're married. They just let me finish. Because of what's currently going on with 205 Live between the two of them, I think it's a good dynamic that they can get to eventually if they help incorporate that. Because
which I thought with their match this week, I thought that was perfect for him to walk out with it.
Yeah, he's going to. You know he's going to. He's the only person that she's going to take a pinfall for is going to be Mike. And
it's going to be like in her sleep. It's going to be in her sleep. Yeah.
It's going to, if it hasn't already, who knows? You haven't gotten that far, but
that's true. I haven't checked social media yet.
Yeah, I haven't either. I did check it to find out that Richard is following us now on social media, but he's only following the show. He's not following you directly, which is fine. But you just need to be more respectful to our guests. Yeah. Let's face it. You can be a turd, but you're my turd, and you need to be more respectful. So, conversation for a different day. But I don't want to take too much more of your time. Obviously, we had a fantastic interview tonight. We do want to thank everybody for tuning in here. Be sure to tune in next week. Another fantastic interview coming to you as well. We hope you guys enjoyed. We're trying something a little off kilter with our recording. So, and we're going to be doing a couple experiments moving forward. So just bear with us. Let us know what you think. Obviously, we enjoy going into a studio and recording inside of the Dark Match Studios. But obviously, we want to get something away from the potential trek that we have to make just to get to the studio. So we're going to be trying a couple different experiments moving forward. So let us know what you think. But be sure to subscribe to our podcast all across our streaming platforms. Every single day, a new platform is introduced. If you haven't found us on Spotify just yet, go do so. If you're not listening to us on Apple Podcasts, on Podbeam, on CastBox, the list goes on and on. You can find us everywhere. Be sure to follow Dave's alternative podcast. Dave, hit him with it right now.
At OACLE, the Ordinary Average Cleveland Guys podcast for all your Cleveland and other random sports needs.
I actually re-listened on a trek that I had to make yesterday. I re-listened to the Cavaliers anniversary show.
I was very proud of that opening, by the way.
That was really good. I do have to give it to you. Although I had an idea for, and I'm probably going to introduce it to you within the next week or so. Maybe we'll even play it on here. I actually made a new theme song for your show. And I'm pretty proud of it, too. So I'll send it to you and let me know what you think.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that.
We will. I mean, I was just joking around and I was fiddling around on a few different platforms. So we'll see what works. But be sure to subscribe to us all across social media. You know exactly where to find us. We're across all social media platforms, including Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us. But also be sure to follow our guest, Marketable Richard Holiday, if you have not done so yet. be sure to find him on YouTube as well, so you can find all of his content and everything that the Dynasty is doing. But that's going to do it for this week's episode. Thank you all so much for tuning in with us. Let us know where you want to find us next, because coming up this coming day, you can find David and myself at none other than AIW Absolution, taking place in Cleveland, Ohio. If you're there, you see us, let us know. Tell us what you think. Whether you like us, you hate us, we don't care. I'm going to be pretty, I guess you could say I'm going to have a couple adult pops before I get there. So
you can come up and say whatever you want.
Oh my God, it's going to be fun. But so much fun. We will see you there. If you're going to be in town, let us know, so that way we can catch up with you as well. But have a great week. We'll see you next week, guys.